even Sarah doesn't watch. She doesn't watch football, and my mother-in-law actually likes football more than, I mean, she loves football, and so she's gotten into Tim Tebow as well. Wow, I feel like it's like all of a sudden very ominous. I feel like my voice is just, let me turn it down just a touch. yeah, so I went in, you know, as soon as I walked in the door, like, the game was on, like my wife and my mother-in-law were watching the game, and as soon as I walked in, I figured that something was extremely wrong last night, because they weren't like, wait, it's close, it's close. It wasn't like that. They didn't even say, they didn't even look back, and all. They just kind of like kept looking at the TV and like, it's bad, Brady. I'm like, all right. But I thought about, so Tim Tebow's run came to a screeching halt last night. I don't even know what the score was. It was like. Was it in, okay, 45-10, yeah, I think that's where I left off, and, when I look back, you know, we talked a little bit about this last night. I look back at just this whole Tim Tebowing thing. You know, I don't know if you've gone on the internet, like, there's people who are Tebowing, right? There's a guy on a surfboard, and he's on a surfboard like this, you know, like he's doing the prayer, the T-bowing thing, and they've got all these different poses of people. But I look at the impact that he's had just because God gave him that platform. God gave it to him, and he says it. He's like, God gave this to me, and so I just want to use it to point others to him. And you know, anytime a microphone's in front of his face, he's like, you know, all this attention, he always is deflecting it to his teammates and ultimately to God as well. And I look back on this last, you know, season, I think of just a couple of verses just came to my mind. Gordon, can you advance it one? Maybe I have to turn it on. It says, out of 2 Chronicles 69, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth, to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." You know, I don't know, I think of just Tebow's, what the season is, and like, God is looking for anyone who will go, any blessing you give to me, anytime someone is looking at me, I want people to be reflecting the glory of God, pointing people to him, you know? And if it's a football player, if I look down, my eyes, God's eyes look down and they see one person who's like, I'm going to keep pointing people to you. I'm going to keep giving it to you. It's like, okay, I will use this guy. His eyes are looking. His eyes are searching for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You know? Or this one. This other one. For Samuel 2:30 says, "Those who honor me, I will honor. Yeah, those who honor me, I will honor." It goes on, "Those who disdain me, I will disdain." But it's like, gosh, Tim Tebow's like, man, I'm just going to honor him. And I can see like how God just gave him this platform so that he could honor the Lord. Because last night actually, before I go further into the word, why don't we start out in prayer before we get into Galatians? Father, it's true. You are searching. You are looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to you. Those who are seeking you out. And Lord, we know that you are a God who comes to seek us out. You are the God who took initiative with us. And Father, as we get into your word this morning, we know that your spirit is at work this morning, here at this service, in the Chinese service, in the church in Detroit. We come to meet with you. We come to sit at your feet and hear your words. Father, you inspired Paul to write these words. We looked at it last night, And we're looking at it again. Lord, we want to get what you are saying to us. We want to hear your voice. So, Father, I pray that you would speak through your word. I pray that you empower me this morning. And I pray that you begin to work in our hearts now, stir in us now, so that we could receive your word with soft and tender hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we again, last night we talked a little bit about in OCCYG about how as we looked at this, as we looked at Tim Tebow, how he lives his life freely, at least from the outside looking in. You know, we can't really know what his inner life is like. But he seems to live freely from the law. He doesn't seem to be captivated by looking to rules for life, to find life, like life, you know. Like the Galatians seem to be struggling with. Again, we've talked about this. For those of you who are not, don't come on Saturday nights. Again, we've talked about this church, the Galatian church, and again, this group from the outside has come in, and they want to add to the gospel. They want to add to the cross. They say that, look, if you want true life, if you want righteousness, if you want to be part of us, as we think we're God's people, then you must follow the law. You must be circumcised. You must follow the food laws. And Paul is continually saying to this church, he's like, no, don't listen to these guys. You're making a big mistake. I'm perplexed of why you seem to think that you need to add any more to the cross. Because actually, when you do that, you take away from everything that Christ did on the cross. All right? And I don't know. It seems when I watch this quarterback, it seems like he seems to be free from, at least on the outside, I don't know him real well, from rules. He seems to be like, it's like living life in grace instead of by rules. Or when we talk about freedom, we talked a little bit, another aspect of freedom is freedom from sin or freedom from culture places on us. It seems to be that when I look at Tim Tebow, he's also free from praises. You know, like people are heaping praise on him and he doesn't seem to like take it in to himself at all. Or it seems to be when there's criticism that comes his way. You know, he seems to be free from that as well. I don't know if you guys ever, there's a couple of clips of him when, again, not only do people do T-bowing or whatever, like all these poses of him, but also, like, man, I don't know, probably a few of you guys know this, but like maybe Tim, maybe Jason, who was really into football, when they guys would sap T-bow, you know, they'd throw him down to the ground and a few guys have mocked him, they'd be like, yeah, you know, like they'd kind of just mock him like that. Or I know that he'd also been on Saturday Night Live. There's a skit on him about on Saturday Night Live about him. But when I look at him, he's free. And when I think of us as a church, we want to realize and live out our freedom as well. Okay? We want to live out our freedom in Christ as well. Because in Christ, we are no longer under the law. We're no longer under the law. Last time I shared with you guys, I left off with this picture, okay? Again, there's this kind of this heavy law that can be very heavy, can be very burdensome. And last night I gave some examples of, some modern day examples of in churches, you know, again, I don't hear of any churches, again, asking people to be circumcised, but there's many churches out there that will still place a lot of stuff, a lot of burden on people, whether that be going, like, again, I mentioned it last night, I mentioned a lot of times it's like, if you're not at Wednesday night service, Sunday evening service, there's something wrong with you. If you're not using the King James Version of the Bible, I mentioned one other church that said, like, if you're not using the King James Bible, the version there's something wrong. There's a lot of other things that a lot of people say that you must be doing other than the cross in order for you to be right with God. So sometimes, even now, people can place this kind of heavy law on top of these rules, on top of the cross, right? And now it's like, last time we were in Galatians, I said, look, this is the picture I want you to have, is that now, now you're free from this. You're free from this, right? You no longer have to, you're no longer connected to this. I said it's not, I used the illustration of the ladder, right? The ladder, I said it's no longer, if the law is like, represented by the ladder, it's no longer that the ladder is like upright where you have to climb the law in order to get to heaven, right? In order to reach God. It's more like, the law is more like a track, kind of more like a train track where you like, it's a guide, but you're free from it, right? You're free from it. And so the picture is this. Question that Paul's asking today is this, is now that you're free, what will you do with your freedom? Now that you no longer have the law, now that you're free from sin, like you no longer, it doesn't own you anymore. It doesn't hold you captive anymore. Now that you're free from it, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with your life? How will you use that freedom in your life now? Okay. That's the question for us today. Now that you're free, what are you going to do with your freedom? Remember, Joe Chilufo a couple of weeks ago is like, sometimes the Christian life has just been, just see if we can just avoid sin. The best we can do as Christians is just see if we can just avoid it, right? It's like, no, we don't want to be, and he used the illustration of a plane, like just being in neutral, like just gliding. Like, let's not just glide and just stay away from sin best we can. That's the highest hope we can have for Christian life, right? There's got to be more than that. How will you use your freedom? Now that you're free from rule following in order to be right from God, now that you're free from being slaves to sin, how are you going to use it? And what we're going to see in the passage this morning is Paul tells us how not to use that freedom, and then how we are to use that freedom, all right? How not to use that freedom and how we are to use that freedom. So let's refresh. I know you guys just took a look at this last night, but again, why I do this, you guys, why we've been looking at a passage on Saturday, and then we can come back to it on Sunday morning is because, you know, it's so easy to forget. I don't want us to just look at a passage and go, that's nice, really nice passage, really, you know, interesting, it's inspiring a little bit, but that's good. Let's go back to our lives the way it was. Why come back to it? I just want us to, like, soak it in. I want us to take in God's Word and then go, how am I being changed? How am I being transformed by the Word of God? How is my life, how's my character becoming more like Christ the more I, like, soak in God's Word? I don't want us to just take a glance and then move on. Okay? All right, so let's take a look at the passage this morning. It's Galatians 5, starting in verse 13. It says this, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." All right, "you, my brothers." So again, a lot of times Paul will use brothers, but that's just the cultural norm for how he'd address the church. You could say, in the New Living Translation, "you, my brothers and sisters, were called to live freely, to be free from sin, free from the burden of following the law perfectly, right? But do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. All right, so it's like this. He's like, sometimes what we do sometimes as Christians is we do this. We've been Christ on the cross, on that moment when he was he lived a perfect life, right? Morally perfect, upright life, so that we didn't have to. He stood in our place while he was on the cross. All that sin that we have committed, it was the wrath, the judgment that we deserve was poured out on him, right? And he stood in our place. Instead of us being there, instead of that wrath coming down on us, it was placed out on him. At that time, once that was paid for, once that was taken care of, then that means like, hey, you're free. Then the Holy Spirit comes in. We're given a brand new heart, a new nature. The Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And what happens sometimes is like Paul is saying, you're called to be free, so why would you come back? Why would you come back? Why would you hook yourself up to this again? Why go back to this, right? Why use your freedom that you have now and hook yourself up to this again? You know, why? Why do that? Why go back there? Why connect yourself back up to any one of these things? You know, we know that there is some momentary, we know sin, right? There's still a portion of us that still like, enjoy sin. There's still a portion that like relief, enjoyment when we get, you know, when we join in some gossip, juicy gossip, when we see something that's pleasurable, you know, there's pride, you know, there's still portions that's like, oh, there's still portions that, yeah, but Paul's like, why would you take your freedom and then connect yourself back up to it again? Instead, he says, in verse 14, he says, rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love yourself as your neighbor. Okay. Entire law. I mean, if we take the Old Testament, Pastor Sui, as we looked at the rich young ruler, we looked at the Ten Commandments a little bit last week. And if you look at the commandments, Pastor Sui mentioned, was talking about Commandments 5 through 9 last week, is, you know, if you take those commandments, you know, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony against your neighbor, do not covet your neighbor's stuff. If you summarize all that up, it's like, hey, use your freedom. Once you're free, all that can be summed up as love your neighbor as yourself. Right? So here's the answer. Here's one of the things we should be doing once we have that freedom. You guys, we should take that freedom that we have and look at our brothers and sisters. Serve one another, serve our brothers and sisters in love. Right? Look at the people around you in the church and go, how can I serve? How can I give? I'll tell you, even in this past month, I mean, I feel so blessed to be here at the church, to have you guys, a church family, just serve us and bless us. When this past month, Zach being born, and it's so great to have the church family just come and, like, you know, bring food, you know, just bless us with, like, we have more boy clothes. Like, we just got boy clothes just coming out, you know, just clothes everywhere, you know. But, I mean, it's like, I feel like it's like the church family showing love to our family, using their freedom from freedom that Christ gave us to, like, love on our family. Such a blessing. How can we, when we look at each other, you know, when you step into youth group, when you come into church, a lot of times when you come into church, again, first thing, everyone has a mindset when you walk through the doors, right? There's always something, you know. This last evening, you know, this last night, you know, Isabel got sick, you know, just sick, and like Zach's up, and we're just like, ugh. You know, you walk into church, and sometimes you walk into church, and you're like, and I said, as we got into the car this morning, I'm like, Morgan, how about we just pray? I just need to pray as we go to church, because man, I just need to. Morgan, let's pray. She's like, we want to pray together. She's like, no. Come on, I need to pray. you know, because I want to have the mindset of like, Lord, when I come in, at least have my eyes. When I walk the doors, help me to have my eyes fixed on you, right? And then help me to not only to be connected vertically, but then help me to look out. Help me to look and see, like, gosh, what else is there? Where are people hurting? Where are people need encouragement, right? Use our freedom. Begin to use our freedom that you have when you're connected with the Lord. Use that freedom to go, hey, how can we serve one another? How can we love our neighbor? Love your neighbor as yourself. And so last night in our small groups, you know, I asked the group that I was with, you know, who's your neighbor? You know, infamously asked, like, who's my neighbor? By the teacher to Jesus. And they got it. You know, they were like, well, our neighbor's just the people around us, right? People, how are we going to use our freedom to love the people around us? And I asked the group, I'm like, all right, so let's talk about our neighbors, you know? Who are our neighbors? The people around us, you know, like, okay, so I asked the group, like, hey, how well do you know, let's use the very technical term, let's, neighbors, like, next, our neighbors next door to our houses, like, next door, across the street, I'm like, how well do I know just even my real, like, live neighbors next to my house and have a chance to serve them, you know? One of my neighbors, we take turns shoveling each other's driveway, you know, like, he comes across sometimes, so like, and we both have shovels. You know, it'd be great if we had the snowblowers. I thought, what a ministry to have. If you had a giant snowblower, and you could just, like, just go around to everyone's neighbors, you know, and just shovel or, like, snowblow their walks and stuff. Our neighbors, like, think of your neighbors. Or I asked our group, who else? How about, I had the E's group last night, so it was the girls, the middle school girls, right? And I'm like, okay, how about your locker neighbors, right? Everyone has a locker. How well do you know your locker neighbors, you know? And everyone's different, you know? Like, I remember being the same way. Sometimes I, like, knew the person next to me. Sometimes we just, like, you know, like, you know, you go to your class, you switch, and you, like, you grab your books, and you're like, and you just walk away. But I asked them, like, how do you see... what is it to love your neighbor at your school? Or how do you see any examples of that at your school? And I had two different groups last night, and both groups mentioned, here's one simple thing, just in school, they're like, you know, many times, and I've seen, I remember this happening, you know, there's people carrying books and stuff, notebooks, and for whatever reason, it just spills out all over the floor. And I said, one of the simplest things I can think of, they said, is just, when you see that, just, you know, just helping someone pick up their stuff instead of just walking by, right? Think about how can we use the freedom that we have, the blessing that we have, now that we're no longer captivated by sin or by the law? What can we do as a church to use that freedom to serve our community, right? What can you do in your just daily life? And I think part of this is coming up of how we are to do this. Part of it's coming up in the passage. But think about your freedom that you have and how you will use it.
All right. Okay, so Paul, after Paul tells us what we ought not to do with our freedom and what we should be doing with our freedom, serving each other and loving our neighbors as ourselves, he begins to bring clarity of what that means in life, to have a life of freedom. Look with me in verses 16. Look down with me at 16 through 18. Oh, by the way, let me back up. Verse 15, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, you'll be destroyed. You will be destroyed. You will be destroyed by each other. So again, one of the things in the Galatian church, it seems to be there was some discord. There was some inner fighting going on. Maybe it was whether they should be a part of this Judaizers, you know, of adding this stuff on or not, but there was some discord. The thing we got to be careful of, and we see it all throughout Scripture, is, man, it can happen in youth groups, it can happen in churches, is be sure that we're showing each other grace. Be sure that we're showing each other patience and carrying each other's burdens with one another. Because, man, it can easily turn, and we can just end up, you know, churches split all the time. Churches split all the time. Youth groups fall apart all the time because there's discord. I don't see it happen right now, I think, but we got to be careful. We got to show grace and patience to one another. So, here's what a life in freedom is to look like. So I say, verse 16, look with me in verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what's contrary to the sinful nature. These are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. All right. So what's Paul talking about here? Look, if you are connected with the Spirit, right? If you are praying and you're in the Word, you're walking in the Word, if you're walking in the Word, right, and you're in step with the Spirit, and I think most of you guys have a sense of what that is. There's been times when you are connected with the Lord, like there's times when I'm so encouraged because I get emails from you guys of just, hey, Brady, I was reading in this passage about this, and I'm just curious, what does that mean? I'm like, oh, that's awesome. That means that this person was in the Word, and they're asking questions. They're wondering what this is talking about. And it's not even the passage that we're going through, but it's just, they were just happened to be reading through God's Word, and they're wondering about it, and they're asking what the meaning is. And I'm like, oh, this person, at least in some way, they're connecting with God. And so if you're praying and you're connected, then your sinful nature, then you won't be gratifying your sinful nature. Like, they're in complete conflict with each other. All this stuff, I mean, the answer to this is our position in Jesus Christ. But in our walk, the more we're connected with Him, the more we're filled with Him, the less we even think about these things, right? The less we even think about it. So sometimes the answer is, pour yourself into Christ. Get connected to Christ, and that stuff will start to slowly fade away. Some people ask me, like, man, how do I stop whatever it is? Pick this, you know, what steps do I take? You know, how do I get? Partners like, look, just begin to pour yourself, get connected in, because once you do, you can't be doing both. You can't be doing both. We see this truth in life all the time, right? Have you ever seen anyone at a gym on the treadmill? Yeah, I've seen someone on the treadmill. But have you ever seen anyone, right, doing sit-ups like this? And each sit-up they have, the working to lose out way. Olivia's eating chips like crazy, you know? Do you see anyone doing that? Anyone who's lifting weights? Anyone who's, they're exercising? Like I recently changed gyms, and this past week I was able to experience a yoga class. I'm like, I'll just try it, right? But I don't see anyone. Everyone brings their mat, you know, they play the soft music. Honestly, afterwards, I didn't feel like I had any kind of workout at all. I'm like, I can't quite grasp where this is going, but you never see anyone. I see people walk into the gym all the time, and I never see anyone walking into the gym with a big bag of chips, right? Because they're in total conflict with each other. It's like total opposite, right? It's total opposite of where you're going. And Paul is saying the same thing here. If you live by the Spirit, if you're connected with the Spirit, you will not be gratifying your old nature, who you once were, right? For the sinful nature desires what is contrary, exact opposite to the Spirit. Contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer under the law, right? And I've talked about this a little bit, because sometimes I have wondered. I've wondered, like, okay, I mentioned this in youth group a couple of times. I've wondered, I'm like, hey, what's going on exactly? Because sometimes I get this picture of this. I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, yeah, walking with God, being connected. Oh, but this is so tempting. This is so nice. And so sometimes I get this idea, are we the split personality, or are we just like, you know, is there like a battle going on inside of us? How are we to look at that? What is this? Is there like is it a Jekyll and Hyde type thing that's going on in us? Why do we as Christians ever have any of this? Why do we ever have any of this anytime anymore, right? I've wondered that. Because, right, we've been given a new heart, new nature. The old is gone, the new has come. We've been given the Holy Spirit, right? So if we have a new heart, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, why do we ever get envious? Why do we ever gossip? Why do we ever have pride? And so I talked about, like, what actually is happening? What is this? What is it he's saying when he's saying that they are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want? How do we answer that? If we've got the Holy Spirit, new heart, how do we answer that? And I gave a couple examples of how we can think about it. You guys remember the examples I gave of what the answer is to this? Right. Great. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So listening. Yeah. Right. So. So like our statuses, like what Jerry's talking about. Yeah. I asked you guys, how many of you guys your moms still boil water, right? And I'm like, we do. You know, my mom still. You know, and I'm like, how many of them are American citizens? Yeah, we're Americans. So I gave the example of, look, even though we are now citizens in heaven, our status, when God looks down on us, he sees you are in Christ, you are found to be righteous in God. You are justified, bless you. You are justified in Christ. That's our status, right? That's where we are. Just like as immigrants come over and they go through the process of becoming a citizen, and one day they hold up a What do they hold up? Like, do you get a certificate when you become a citizen? You do? Okay. You can say that on that day, some people can say they can mark the day. They're like, on July 4th, whatever date, you know, I became a citizen. I am now an American, right? And people, you have all the rights. You have all the rights of being an American. You can vote. Hopefully exercise that vote, right? You can vote. You have all the privileges and responsibility of being a citizen. All right, but still, even as an American citizen, I said, immigrants, you know, if you grew up in China for 20 years before you came to the United States, you will still bring those habits of where you once were. That's why I'm like, yeah, you'll still bring some of those habits. Or I said, another example I've used in the past is being married, right? July 7th, 2001. I became a married man. I held up the certificate. I'm like, look, I am married, right? And so before the state of Illinois, before the federal government, I now changed my tax code or whatever to become like a married guy. But if you ask Sarah, I didn't act so much like a married guy for the first while. You know, I still act like a single guy, even though on paper, recognition-wise, my status was married. My condition was still kind of looking single, right? That's how it is with us. Our status is, in Christ, completely right before God. Our condition is, we still have some of those residuals left over from our old self, some of those habits. How many of you, raise your hand if you play a sport? Okay, have you guys heard of the term muscle memory? Okay, Stephen, what is it? Right. So I'm a tennis player, and so, you know, anyone who plays golf, anyone who does like a ton of like forehands, backhands, you do like 1,000 of these things. You know, drills. You just do it again. And again and again, you know, that's what your coach does. He just feeds you balls, and you just do 1,000 of those forearms. And then if you switch sports, like at my new gym, there's racquetball. I watch some guys play racquetball, and apparently with racquetball, you use your wrist. You snap your wrist more. There's more wrist action with racquetball. And so when I played racquetball in college, I haven't played for a long time. But I would be in the racquetball court, and I'd be swinging like a tennis player. I'd be like, ugh, ugh. You know, like racquetball players don't have like a double-handed backhand, but I was like, ugh, you know, like that. Because I've done that 1,000 times, right? So for us, some of you became Christians when you were, like, I've heard your story. You're like, wow, like, I feel like the Holy Spirit, I feel like I was reborn when I was 6 or 5 years old. But still, for those 5 years, for those 6 years, you were born with a nature of sinful nature. And so there was still some of this stuff that was still there. And so again, your status will be, you are right in Christ, justified, completely justified in Christ. But there's still some of that old habits that you... There's some of that stuff, that muscle memory that you have from your old self that still carry over, right? So, but that's why they are in conflict with each other. That's why we have this, we still have this, like, oh man, that's my old self. In fact, there's times when Paul says, I don't even reckon, that he talks in that old self as if it's like a third person. Like the Paul that, it was, you know, like if he slips back in his old, that Paul would blah, 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 blah. And he talks about like that. He distanced himself so much from his old nature. He so wants to identify with the new Christ in him. He talks about, have you ever heard like athletes talk like in third person before? They're like, you know, I don't know. Sometimes basketball players, people talk in like third person, or like they say their own name when they talk. It's kind of weird. But that's what Paul does. He so distanced himself from that old person. He's like, this is the new me. this is who I am. This is who I want, who I am now. All right? So this is what he's talking about. So this is where the question that he's asking is ultimately life in the spirit. What is controlling your life? What's at the core of your life, right? And he gives the answers of, like, there's two different cores. For us, we have this new core, but there's our old self, and those who are operating they're still operating without Christ. And here's where that leads to. If you look starting in verse 19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as you did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. All right? So unless our new nature is, unless we're reborn, the Holy Spirit comes in, this is where it leads to. Look at the list. This is where it leads to. Sexual morality. In the original, it's pornea, right? It's where we get our word pornography. Debauchery is, I didn't know what debauchery was. Like, we don't use that word anymore. But it's also like sensual indulgence. It's like saying, God, I don't care about the boundaries that you have set on us. I'm just going to throw those boundaries off. I don't really care. I'm not going to live for you. I'm living for me. So without that change, without that Holy Spirit working in us, this is where we'll end up. And you may still recognize some of that from your old nature. You might sometimes slip back into that. But what is controlling you guys, what is leading you, is the Holy Spirit now. Now that you have Him in you, again, you're free. You don't have to do that anymore. You can walk away. You can call someone and say, look, I'm tempted. Anytime you're tempted, we know that God gives us a way. Call someone up. Call someone close to you. I need you to pray for me right now, because I'm using my freedom to have you pray for me to experience the power of God so that I walk away from whatever this is that I'm tempted to slip back into for my old self, right? I'm using it. I'm taking advantage of it now. Okay? But if we look at what the end result is, what comes out of us if the Holy Spirit is operating us, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. So I asked you guys last night in the prayer journals, I'm like, which one of these would you like to experience more, have more fruit in, you know? Which one of these would you like, oh man, if I look down, I'm like, I could really, Holy Spirit, God, would you work in me, fill me up more so that I could have more patience, that I'd have more patience. Would you fill me up, God, take over, become greater in me so that I would love more, that I'd be more loving, that I would extend myself to people more, that I would think of others before myself more, right? Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. So again, it doesn't mean that we never sin. It just means that that old self is gone. It's dead. That's all what baptism is. Again, when we put the person down, that's saying that old person is dead, coming up new. It's like, this is the new person, me in Christ. Since we live by it, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envy each other. So here's what it looks like. You know, so sometimes I hear the question, what's God's purpose for my life? You know, I know that many seniors, those in college, are asking, you know, what's your where am I going to be 30 years from? What is my purpose in life? Like, where am I going? But I think partly what it is to live in step with the Spirit is to go, let's ask God, what would you have for me today? What do you have for me? And the question you're asking, what's my purpose in life? That's a good question to ask. You know, I think God will reveal that to you. But part of what living in the Spirit means, being in step with Him, is just going, God, like, after the service, you know, I'm surrendering my next few minutes to you. I'm surrendering my next, my afternoon to you. Like, what is it that you want me to do just this afternoon? Can you stay connected with the Lord and say, like, just God, what would you have me do this afternoon, this evening? I surrender my time to you. I surrender my weekend to you. I surrender my Monday to you. Just one step at a time, and God will lead you. Part of our challenge is really, sometimes I think we know what God wants us to do. It's really like going, okay, I'll do it. I'll surrender. Like, I give up. I'll follow what you're asking me to do. I'll follow you. I give up. I'll follow. I'll surrender to you. Right? So here's what we want to think about this week. How will you operate in the freedom that you have? Since you've been set free this week, how will you use your freedom? Right? How will you use your freedom? How can we serve one another? And do you see the fruit of the Spirit coming out of your life, bubbling out of your life? Right? Let me close in prayer, and then we'll respond in song. Lord, we confess that the third part of the Trinity, the Spirit, we often don't think about all that much. We don't pay attention to the Spirit that much. And Lord, we pray that as we go forth this week, Lord, that we would be in step with your Spirit, Lord. I pray that you would give us a greater hunger, a greater thirst for yourself. Lord, if it means to kill that old nature, if it means to that we need to pull back from media, we need to pull back from, you know, we see you, Lord, fasting, pulling back from just kind of the things that we fill ourselves up with so that we can focus on you more and become more hungry for you. I pray that we would. Because we want to be more full of you. I pray for the church, Lord. I pray that we, as a church, we would hunger more for you. That we'd be in step and aware of your Spirit. Lord, lead us in our times of prayer. The times when we go off by ourselves in our own, whatever our prayer closet looks like, or ever our times alone with you. So that we'd hear your voice. And experience you, walk with you, obey you, Lord. Fill us up with you so that your patience, your joy, peace, goodness, faithfulness, self-control would be revealed through us. People look at us and see what is different. What is different about you? We can answer you. We can answer them. It's our Lord. Him that resides in us. And we love you. We want to surrender to you. We thank you that that it's you that's in charge of carrying us to completion. That we don't have to double up our effort, but we just simply need to surrender. Just let go and allow you to move in us, get filled with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.